Welcome to the Divine Reconnection Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm Natalie. Together, we're here to guide you through authentic conversations about healing, self-awareness, and building conscious relationships.
On this podcast, we dive into the journey of reconnecting with yourself and your partner, sharing our insights from our own relationship, how we broke up, healed individually, and came back together stronger than ever.
Whether you're navigating love, healing from trauma, or just looking to grow emotionally, this is a space for you. We're all about keeping it real and sharing the tools that have helped us along the way.
So get comfortable and join us as we explore what it truly means to reconnect mind, body, and soul.
And now let's dive into today's episode.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Divine Reconnection Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm Natalie.
This is another episode. This is episode what?
12.
Episode 12. Mm-hmm. We are racking up these episodes. I have to celebrate that every time because it just makes me excited. It makes me excited to be consistent. It makes me excited to be full of creativity and full of energy. And I love it when you wake up and say, hey, I'm ready to record.
Yes! We made a goal when we were in Colombia to do 15 episodes back to back. And we got through 8.
Yeah.
And then we took hiatus.
Yeah.
But I think
it's okay. I think I came to the realization that consistency, I had to redefine that, what that meant for me. There's a period on in about 2022, 2023, we was going in on YouTube, listening to all these creators talk about like, oh, this is why your YouTube channel is not working. You need to be consistent, and this is what consistent means, and yada yada yada. And although that may be true for them, I had to redefine what consistency meant for me. And consistency means for me to just don't stop, just keep going. Mm-hmm. And that may look like go hard for a little while and then take a break. And no matter how long that break is, as long as you start the engine back up and you continue, there will be no stopping. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can pause, but don't stop.
That's been kind of what we've been embracing just the past few years in terms of like honoring ourselves, honoring where we're at, how we're feeling. And it's this term called conscious entrepreneurship, where you're listening to what it is that you intuitively have capacity for. And so when we're not feeling up to it, I think we mentioned this in the last episode, when we're not feeling up to it, we're not putting out content. We don't feel like energized to film a video. And then we don't want to that energy of whatever we're feeling to be displayed and portrayed and, you know, put out into the world like that. Everything that we do is done with intention.
So I'm gonna ask you this, because you just said everything we do it with intention. Mm-hmm. How well do we intentionally say, we're not going to do this? Do we fall into it and just say, I'm not feeling it, I really do want to push out this? Or do we intentionally say, you know what, this is a season that we need to take a break?
I think we fall into it with an understanding that neither of us are up for it. Like, I think that you can see me and be like, yeah, it's not the time to ask if we're gonna do, you know, gonna do this. Like, I can see her going through some shit right now, and like vice versa. I could tell like when you're like kind of like on your own or just doing whatever, it's not really a time to push to put content out. It's really a time to focus on you and yourself. And so I think we balance that. We don't have to explicitly say, all right, this is the season where we're gonna rest. It's like our soul and our bodies and our minds know rest.
And I think the hard part is recognizing it. The hard part is we may be in a season of rest, and us, Lauren and Natalie, we may be pushing, saying, nope, we got this done. Nope. We set a goal at the beginning of 2022. We're going to do this. And everything that we try and everything we try to complete and everything we try to film and edit, it just is not flowing. I'm talking about flowing with ease. I got well acquainted with what ease means. when we were living in Florida, and I got tired of running into a brick wall, running into what felt like I was forcing things to happen. And so I, speaking for myself, I got well acquainted with what does it feel like when things flow easily, and what does it feel like when things are a force. And so I know what it feels like when things are forced, and it don't feel good. If it, I quickly get burned out.
Right. I think that that's why we do what we do and why we move the way we're moving is so we don't get burned out. Because there were points where we would get burned out with our business, we would get burned out with each other
Yeah.
and just didn't have the capacity to be our best self for ourselves, for this relationship, for the other things in our life we wanted to pour into.
At the beginning of our relationship, we didn't do content. Like when I met you, you were into content, but you was taking a personal hiatus. You were like, I'm not traveling that anymore. I'm barely traveling. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my YouTube channel. And I was not into the content space. I was into my career and personal growth and things like that. And one day we were sitting on the couch watching whatever show, maybe a Marvel show, or maybe I don't know what we were doing when we were living in Maryland. But we had a really in-depth conversation.
It's like after the movies. We would watch the movies, and then after the movie, we would have these really in-depth conversations and be like, yo, we could have recorded this.
Yeah, we have such great conversations and so in depth, and it was really invigorating. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we should have recorded that. And then you was like, you know what? Let's start recording our conversations. Let's. I was like, oh, bet. And so I saw this green light, and we started creating her and her girlfriend YouTube channel. I believe Natalie, you came up with the name. Honestly, I don't remember how the name came up.
Yeah, the name
But
just
you said
came to
that
my mind. Yeah.
you thought about it, and I was like, okay, boom, that sounds cool. Let's do it. And we went head strong, just head over heels into all right, we need an Instagram, we need a what do we do? I think we just did Instagram and YouTube at that time.
I think we had an Instagram. I forget which one
No,
came
it
first.
was, but I'm just saying, was there any other platforms that we started at that time?
I think it was just Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, it was Instagram and YouTube, and that was it. And for the first couple of years, we focused on YouTube, but just posted pictures and things on Instagram.
We didn't really have a clear, solid direction of what it was going to turn into. We just knew that we enjoyed doing what we were doing and sharing our love.
It started off as a passion. It started off as fun, pure fun. And after a couple of years, through what we were sharing, people would reach out and say, oh my gosh, your content has helped. I think one of our really good, in my mind, it's coming to mind as fans, but I think we moved past these are not fans, these are not just followers, but people who really interacted with our content was Janine. Shout out to you, Janine. I don't know where you at right now. Like, we haven't heard from you, but we think about you often. And she used to be on our YouTube every time. Like, it didn't matter if we went live, it didn't matter if we posted. She was always the first person to comment, to interact. And so she said, hey, like, I'm not gay. I don't know her story, but what she shared with us was she has a niece that is part of the LGBTQ community. And by listening to us, it helped her understand her niece a lot better and helped her support her through her journey. And I thought that was super cool. And people like Janine over the years have reached out saying that this content has helped themselves help their relationship. You know, we are a queer couple, but we've had a lot of heterosexual couples tell us about them and their husband or them and their boyfriend, and just saying like, hey, your content is really helping. And so that has shifted us. It's like, oh my gosh, we can help people. You know what? Let's increase this up a notch. Like, let's go in with intention. Let's plan out what we're gonna talk about. And oh my gosh, the moment we said that, shit started going on in our relationship. I felt like God was like, oh, God already knows what we can do and what he has for us to do, but or she, what the universe has for us to do. But I think that when you got to be careful what you ask for, because when we said we're gonna be this, and when we felt that we can be this, then the universe was like, well, if you're gonna be a relationship coach, if you're going to touch the hearts and minds and relationships of people, you gotta know where they're coming from. So we went through whirlwind after whirlwind, transition after transition, breakup. We went through all these things, and I really feel like it was for a purpose and it was for a reason. And now we have experience to pull on to help people.
I think what was, I'll say, I guess, revolutionary about our platform is that we shared our ups and downs from the beginning. Like, we shared what was difficult, what we were going through, what we were learning. And early on, before we even thought about becoming relationship coaches, we were just thinking about, hey, here's this tool that we're using. This is how we use it. And those are the videos that was getting saved, that people were sharing, that people were really connecting with, because what we show, what we exhibit in terms of like a queer, healthy, or le healthy lesbian relationship, that's not the norm in the LGBTQ or the lesbian community. It's all these like toxic relationships.
The point of view that we were coming from wasn't quite seen by our community.
Yeah.
People were saying like, man, this is different. Thank you for the freshness, the authenticity, the vulnerability is what I hear a lot. What were you seeing on social media that differentiated us from them?
Well, first of all, I saw people talking about relationships, but and how to heal or,
At the beginning,
advice.
we didn't see that.
I did see that, but it was for
In Maryland?
maybe for hetero.
I know, but did you see healing relationships when we were in Maryland, when we were in
The advice that
Florida?
I saw was specifically for like hetero. So you had hetero relationships where it's like, women, if you want to keep your man, this is what you do.
Yeah,
Man,
you
this is what
right.
you this is where you got to look at. This is how you keep a woman, blah, blah, blah. Like, I saw that kind of
You
dynamic.
when you say healing, that's what threw me off, because they weren't quite healing focused content. You were, and I was seeing content like men versus women content, how to keep a man, women lower your standards and things like that, which was, we didn't have the terminology for it, but that was toxic, right? Because they were the Kevin Samuels out there. It was, how, remember Kevin Samuels
I know.
and him talking about what a high value man is and all that kind of stuff. So that was the content that we kept rolling around. And those were the conversations being sparked. So what else were you seeing online?
And then when it came to lesbian relationships and lesbian couples, I didn't see people talking about relationships. I saw a lot of like cutesy, like fat, like, TikTok. I don't know, TikTok challenges, TikTok dances, TikTok like jokes
From
or
lesbians.
yeah, like I didn't see people talking in the same way that people were talking about relationships in the hetero community. I did not see that in the lesbian community.
What
It's
did you see in the lesbian community?
what I said.
The TikTok dances. So
Yeah, it was
who are
it
some content, like some content people that I can think of that I was really consuming their content was Amber's Closet. I was looking at a little bit of Yeezy stuff. Easy and Natalie. I was actually on YouTube a lot consuming content. I was looking at oh, what's this couple? Chrissy and Dom. Chrissy and Dom was somebody I was really watching everything in their content, and they ended up breaking up and they had a son and all that kind of stuff. But I was looking at their content, and most of their content was not about relationships. It was about like, hey, here's a house tour. Come look at this. Look at this car we just bought. It was like, here's this way that I proposed to my person, and it's just this big elaborate thing. But I didn't see what really went on in the relationship. Like when Chrissy and Dom got to Like Dom was a stud, and then she turned into a soft stem, and then she turned into a femme at one point, and then she turned back into a stud. And when they came to record their content, you can tell something was off. Like, I don't know, I would watch so intently. You can tell something was off, and they ended up breaking up. But when it blew up between them, they both had their separate channel and started talking about what happened in the relationship. And so when I watch lesbians and queer couples, there's another one that I watched, but I'm not gonna keep name dropping. But I was like, man, I want to know if they had tools, what tools would they reach for? Like, what was missing in that relationship to where they could have stayed together? You know, what was it? And that is kind of what was in the back of my mind of like, man, I don't want this relationship. I know we're bringing it to public and I know we're talking about it on YouTube and stuff, but I don't want to end up like these other YouTube couples. Like, I don't want to just focus on content for the sake of racking in money and then my relationship falls apart. Oh, another one was Brooklyn something. Her and her girlfriend broke up really bad, and you know, and yeah, it was a few people out there, and I'm name dropping so I can connect with people because I'm pretty sure other lesbian people was watching the same people I was watching. And it's refreshing for me to even look through our content. And it's very clear that we have our relationship. We have a good view of our relationship and ourselves, you know.
I think that people in that era, especially when it came to couples, was focused on quote unquote couples goals and showing couples goals. And so then you had a mass of followers and subscribers watching these couples, watching these YouTubers and TikTokers because of what they were exhibiting and not because of what was actually going on. And so there's like this gap that people who are actually in relationships, they're like, I want to aspire to this. I want to have the cars. I want to have the seemingly beautiful, you know, couple relationship with lots of laughs and all this stuff. While on the inside or on the flip side behind the cameras, they could be struggling. They could be suffering. They're struggling. They don't know how to communicate with each other. They're triggering each other left and right, and don't have the resources to merge and heal together. And I think that that's where a lot of people kind of get just worked up and pulled in. And honestly, people get pulled into drama. People love drama.
Yeah,
And I
I think
feel
that's why people tuned in to us.
good.
Sometimes, yeah, because the moment, because when we first came on Instagram, we were that cute couple, like, because Instagram was a picture Instagram, and we didn't quite do videos yet, and we were doing date nights and things like that, and we were just like smiles, and people was like, oh, y'all are so beautiful, y'all are so beautiful, and the moment we said we broke up, then everybody was like, what? You know, and I think that a lot of people stay tuned in because we documented the whole process from being broken up to living in separate states. And the way we document is we went live. And I was in Houston, you was in Florida, and we were actually talking about how what it's like being apart.
I remember you being adamant about us getting on camera and talking and bringing people in to those parts of our relationship.
It was
So
uncomfortable, huh?
yeah, I want to ask, like, what was your intention in making sure that we did that?
My intention started back when we were in Maryland. It's like I had a seed planted into me the moment you said, let's start a YouTube. It's like I had a quick vision that was, there's two times in my life where that happened. When I met you and that. It's like there was a quick movie that went through my head. And I felt it more so in my body than I did see it visually. But I saw, like, the seed that was planted in me felt like you, the way you think, your unique experience, and this relationship is going to help millions, if not billions of people. And I felt it within the core of me. And instead of asking how, I'm an action-oriented person. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. And so as our relationship kept unfolding, I couldn't get too into, she mad at me right now. Da, da, da. I just knew we're gonna be okay. We're gonna be all right. And I was like, it's okay that we are arguing right now. It's okay that we don't know how to communicate right now. It's okay that I just knew I kept every time we would go through it, I fell back on that vision. And that vision that I had popped back up again the night that we decided we were going to break up. I was so emotionally distraught. You were so emotionally distraught, and we were both laying in the bed just crying and talking. And that movie popped up in my head, and that seed was knocked around. And it was like a voice came to me and said, "You gotta let go because everything's gonna be okay. The moment you let go, it will be fine." Because I was trying to hold it tight and control it, and I'm like, "We can't break up. Like, this is gonna be the end of that vision you showed me. What about this vision?" And so it was like we're watching Marvel right now, and Nebula. Somehow, sometimes Nebula in the Guardians of the Galaxy has these visions that pop up out of nowhere. It was like that. That's what happened to me that night. And I was like, oh, so you mean to tell me this vision can continue even if I let go, even if it looks like this is not gonna continue? And I was like, oh, okay. So I let go. And people started tuning in. It was like, how are y'all not talking to other people? How are y'all not entertaining other people? Because they would. And I was like, man, y'all don't understand. Like, we had intentions that when we broke up, we gonna come back together. So let me go back to that original question, because I can go on a tangent. You asked me what.
What was your intention for film, like documenting and going on live and filming and sharing it with?
Yay, I am on topic. I am answering the question. Okay, cool. My intention was that vision, that seed that was planted, and I knew that people just can't see the smiles. They can't just see when y'all are doing good. They can't just see the cars, the houses, they can't see what's superficial. It's not going to be impactful. They're going to continue with what people are doing, which is, I want to look good on the outside. And so it was implanted into me that y'all are gonna have to be uncomfortable, and you're gonna have to be vulnerable. And when you're ready, don't force it. But when you think that you're ready, and when Natalie feels like she's ready, y'all are gonna have to record and document each part of this hard process. And so there's so much footage we have. There's so much footage we have recorded that has never seen the light of day, but I know that it will be in a book somewhere. I know that it will be in a movie. I know that it's a reason why we recorded it. And you would be so uncomfortable. You're like, why are you recording? Or like, you would try to, when you knew the video was on, you would be like, try to put it together. There's this moment we did a YouTube video way, way back in the day before we did the Niecy Nash thing. We were recording a video, and it's on Instagram and TikTok. And in the middle of the video, you just wasn't feeling it, and you had caught a real vulnerable moment of me pouring life into you. And the more we do these, you understand that that's how we are behind scenes. And you had a really insecure moment where you just didn't feel good, and I gave you a little pep talk.
I could include that clip like right
Okay.
there.
You look beautiful. You have to believe it. At every stage of your body, you have to love it. Okay? It's your body. It's carrying you throughout life. It's going to carry our kids. Okay? It's going to go through so many changes, and it's going to be okay.
Really, you're going to make me start crying.
All right, all right, all right. Okay. Okay, okay. When you believe there's something wrong with it, then it's evident. My baby is gorgeous, and she believes she's gorgeous. You look good, baby. Say
Thank you. I look good.
it. Say it. Say like you believe it. Go ahead.
I look good.
You're damn right.
But I was really, really serious about this, and I hold true to that vision. Some people say Some people say when you do anything with intention, you should always pull on your why. You should always be clear about your why. And that's my why. I care about this relationship, and I care about other people being able to figure out their relationship. And I know that this journey is not going to be pretty, but I'm not interested in showing the pretty. I'm interested in showing the real.
One of the things that has been unearthed through the journey of our relationship and what we have learned in terms of like trying to working on healing, working on creating a healthy environment with between the two of us, is realizing the unhealthy dynamics that our families indoctrinated into us.
Man, I'm gonna reword that. Mm-hmm. Unlearning what is already in us. Mm-hmm. Because although our families gave it to us, we're extensions of our families. And when we came together, we were not healed. Mm-hmm. What was that word? I don't even think we overuse it now, but I don't even think I ever said that word in the first 3 years of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gonna let you continue, but we brought in what we were taught.
Mm-hmm. What we were taught, what we learned to cope with, learned to defend against, learned how to protect ourselves. And at a certain point, you know, you can be in a relationship and everything is going well. Like the first 2.5-3 years, everything was basically peachy clean, whatever they call it. And a long-term honeymoon. And even you would say, like, I ain't never experienced it feeling like this for this long.
Yeah, I used to look at it, I'm like, man, what they going through? Because I can't relate.
Right, exactly. And so when our roles started shifting, when pain started showing up.
When we went through transition.
When we were going through major transitions. What our therapist, our couples therapist, I think she was the one that identified that we were going through constant transitions.
Can you identify with just a little bit of those transitions really fast so people can know what transitions are?
Yeah. So the first transition was we met in Korea, that it's moving from Korea to back home, me, Florida, you, Texas.
So pause. That's a physical transition. But can you talk about just in that Korea to coming back to the United States, what was an internal transition?
For me, I'll say from the feeling of independence to the feeling of like
lack. Codependency.
And codependency.
Yep.
And depending on you, like, or and vice versa, you being able to depend on me and then you turning into like the dependent.
I didn't depend on you.
Well, I guess. Okay.
I mean, it was. Yeah, I didn't have to depend on you in the way that you depended on me.
Yeah,
it was like
a different kind of dependence. Yeah. I think dependence, like codependent, something that I provided you in terms of like social dependence. I don't know.
You gave me a sense of belonging. Uh-huh. In a new place that I've never been, and I was needing and depending on a sense of belonging. So if we can put that in there of like, yeah, I was depending on you for a sense of belonging.
So there is yeah. That level of codependency that I was able to provide you. And that's why you actually was able to stay in Korea longer, because
I would have left. Mm-hmm. I did not like my job, but continue. Yes. Our therapist really highlighted for us the transition part.
And then from our hometowns, when we moved back, we transitioned into the pandemic.
Oh yeah. And everything shut down.
Everything shut down.
That we left Korea in February, at the end of February, and March 17th.
Yeah.
Yep. And in that process, I got a new job. Mm-hmm. I was employed mm-hmm. in March mm-hmm. of 2020. Mm-hmm. But I never got to DC and never was able to work, mm-hmm. you know, because everything went virtual. Mm-hmm. So that was my own personal transition. What was your transition? Maybe one or two when you was living in Florida and then you came to me?
I think that probably the pandemic was probably the biggest thing. I was in a place of just feeling like I was in limbo and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what directions to take, and the whole world was shut down, that I'm like, I don't even know what to do. I'm just literally sitting in a place where I have of nothingness. That's what it felt like. And so you came to visit for like a month or something like that, and that made things. I loved that time. Like you made your presence just made that month just easy. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And then you finally was able to, you know, go to DC, and the next transition was us moving together to DC.
We were long distance at some point, so yeah. I'm glad that we went into what were the transitions, because that can really affect the relationship.
Yeah, I think
that we were never in those transitions long enough to even allow our bodies to even adjust, mm-hmm. to allow our minds to adjust, to even ask ourselves any questions. We just went. We were so good at it. Mm-hmm. Transition. Mm-hmm. And we never sat still to really understand what these transitions meant for us.
So important to recognize, whether if you're in a relationship or even by yourself, like recognizing the transitions, recognizing the roles that are changing, recognizing how you're changing within all of the moving pieces of your life, and allowing yourself the space and the grace and the time to adjust is so important. Because if you're just like continuously on the go, continuously just being okay with the changes, your body, your nervous system doesn't have a chance, like you said, to catch up. And it's already a lot for yourself by yourself. So bringing that into the dynamics of a relationship, if y'all don't have the tools to work through that yourselves, and y'all are kind of like together, it can create a lot of friction. It can create a lot of
conflict,
dysregulation between the both of you, because there's things that both of you guys are needing, and it's constantly changing based off of
it's layered too. If you're codependent and you don't even realize you're codependent, if you don't know a whole bunch about yourself, then while you're going through these transitions, you can be leaning hard on your partner to fulfill just feeling better. I was very good at maneuvering transitions, and I'm very, very good at processing. Like, I process things super fast, almost immediately. And because I have that strength, you relied on me to process without you even probably noticing it. And so when it was time to talk, and when it was time to go to our next transition, and when I realized, like, oh, I'm burnt out, I can't be relied on for this and other things, I had to be like, wait, hold on, I'm sorry, I can't be that for you anymore. And I'm just naming one, but there were a lot of things where I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't be that for you anymore. Then our roles and things in our relationship start to shift hard, because we have a good way as humans making ourselves comfortable. And sometimes that means staying glued to what may be good for us and what may not be good for us. And we were perpetuating and making each other comfortable in areas where we should be growing and pushing ourselves. And so a lot of this transition really unearthed in us, this actual thing that you think is good for you is making you too comfortable. This thing, which we talked about in another episode, the people pleasing, right? Before people pleasing came on the scene, we did not know it was called people pleasing. Mm-hmm. When we were having conversations about it, I was like, baby, you're not prioritizing yourself. And then we had conversations like, well, what does prioritizing yourself look like? You know, and it was like, okay, I understand. And as a partner, I'm going to help you prioritize yourself. I'm going to identify. And I started taking on that as my job, because I'm so good at doing that already with my mom, right?
And yourself.
And myself. And I was like, oh, yay, I'm useful here. I can help her do this. And I started taking that role very, very well, and got to a point where I was burned out.
Because because you didn't realize that it was actually your trauma that was showing up. And that was,
I didn't know that was connected to my trauma. And although that was a strength of mine, the trauma that it was connected to, or what it was triggering for me, is, Lauren, you get praised for carrying everyone. Lauren, you are very good at processing everyone's pain. Lauren, you are very good at being a dependable individual. And my ego was stuck in, that is Lauren. Lauren's going to be dependable. Lauren is going to be, I don't want anyone to say that I wasn't there for them. And so I would hold myself to that standard. Although in this relationship, I got to a burnout point where I'm like, I can't do that no more. My shoulders hurt. I realized I wasn't even being there for myself. In the past episode, I said that I'm not in this relationship because I'm in love. I'm in this relationship because it's showing me self-discovery and I'm in love with self-discovery. I would not have known that about myself had I not been in a relationship with a person with the perfect puzzle piece for me to fit into. That conversation we had off camera, and I wanted to bring that back here because relationships, who you attract, have the exact puzzle pieces that you need in order to grow. If you ask me, I think everybody should be in a relationship for self-discovery. I'm getting to a point where I am understanding that a lot of relationships have this codependency aspect. Healing is actually noticing something about yourself, letting it take up space and being okay with it, and learning how it serves you versus how it doesn't serve you. And so that's up to you to figure that part out. Hey, we named it, we called it out, and that's up to you to figure it out. But as far as requiring or thinking that your partner needs to provide validation for you, I think that's false. But I'm going to ask you this. Do I validate you?
Yeah.
So it's not that I withhold it from you. I do provide validation. But when I do see maybe like an insecurity pop up where it's like, I'm sad because you didn't say this. And I'm like, I ain't about to give you validation just because you said, like, I'm willing to have all these conversations and things like that, but I'm not going to go into the insecurity and feed that. I lay back. I noticed this is a thing that she needs to go through. This is something we've talked about this before, but it's no point in me bringing it up. I'm gonna let her sit in that. And in the recent interview with Cam Newton and Dr. Cheyenne Bryant, she said that relationships need interdependency, not codependency. And so I wanted to define these terms. So codependency is the excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner, typically one who requires support on account of an illness or an addiction. Now that's pretty extreme, but in a relationship, it takes place when one believes that it's their job to save another person by attending to all of their needs, which is something we just spoke about the validation part. A codependent person builds their identity around this purpose and takes on a self-sacrificial role in the relationship.
The key difference between codependency and interdependency is that codependency involves dependence on another to the point of where it negatively affects their life. So if you are needing validation or you're needing emotional support and it's like you are sucking them dry and that person is being negatively affected, they're negatively able to show up for themselves, they are emotionally drained.
That's me.
That is a example or a sign that you're in a codependent relationship.
So that's me. You needing all the things that you need, me thinking that I'm going to sacrifice myself and I need to provide this for her to keep her around. I need to. And then I got burnt out. And that's essentially why we broke up and why I left, because I was needing to provide. I needed to have on my shelf all these potions for you to be good. And so that was a level of codependency. Mm-hmm. And so me backing up shuffled your whole world, and it's like, hey, I'm not gonna provide that for you. You got to provide that for yourself.
I see messages and people saying like, I'm on this healing journey and my partner is not there with me. Like, how do I make that okay? And I'm not gonna answer that question, but
that's another episode. I'm glad you said that, okay? Because we're gonna talk about that in another episode.
But I think what the reason why I mentioned that is because you had started on your healing. We were both on a healing journey, but you really started going full force into like
an accelerated version,
because you are an immediate implementer and it's like you are willing to make these major changes really fast. And it did challenge me because I'm like, I'm now shifting in, transitioning with you. And if I wanted to continue being in this relationship, I either could have stayed where I was.
No, you couldn't.
I know. I mean,
you said if I wanted to stay in this relationship, if you wanted to stay where you currently were, I didn't want to be a part of it.
Right. So I guess what I was trying to say is, like, I had the choice to either stay where I was or to shift along. And for somebody like me, who's also, who my own emotional triggers are, not feeling and not being enough.
You don't like critiques. You don't like anyone to say, hey, you know, you're not doing good enough or anything like that. That was popping up because in the healing journey, that is what happens. You'll figure out what you're not doing well and what you could be doing better at. And so it shows you your deficit in a way. That's what I saw.
And so, yeah, for me, it did pull me into, among other things that was going on also at that same time, it pulled me into a really dark place because in multiple aspects of my life, I wasn't feeling like I was enough. And ultimately, I quit my job so I could focus more so on myself and the things in my life that I really cared about. You're one of the main people in my life that was reflecting back on me the things that I wasn't able to see about myself, how they were contributing to your pain.
You chose to change.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do anything.
Well, yeah, I chose to change.
I was really good at doing what I love to do. Mm-hmm. I never had a problem in that department. I just like dating people who love doing what I like to do. You know what I'm saying? And so we went to Finger Lakes. Back when we were living in Maryland, we did a road trip to Finger Lakes in Pennsylvania. Yeah. And then we went to New York and went to not just New York City. We went to upstate New York to Niagara Falls. That was my first time to go. We went to the chocolate park, the chocolate Hershey amusement park. Mm-hmm. I've never been to these things before. But one thing about me, I love exploring uncharted territory.
Yeah.
And so why am I in this relationship? Why are you in this relationship? Everything that I was pushing you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so then it came to a point where in our relationship, I was like, what do you like to do? I was like, we're doing all these things that I like to do. And I left, we broke up. I left from Florida. And you were like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I like to do. Everything that we did, it was you. It was everything you like to do. And so I'm sitting at home in Houston. I like, this is a perfect time for her. This is a perfect time for her. You had 8 months. I don't even know if that was enough time, but you had 8 months to figure out, man, who am I outside of this relationship? What do I like to do? What was that process for you like, if you can remember?
I think, well, first, yeah, I sat in the, I don't know what I like, or I don't know what I want for myself for a while. But I wanted to kind of modify what you had said in terms of, like, I didn't, like, all the things that we did is because you liked. I didn't know I liked those things until you pushed me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Now, when you're gone, those things, the way that I felt about them changed because I wasn't able to share that experience with you. Mm-hmm. So I still did those things. I still did the bike rides. I still did the walks. I still went out in nature. But I had to find a way in which I enjoyed it for myself.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so that was my journey, is finding what I enjoy doing on my own. I think when you left, that was when I recorded my first dance video. I think so. I recorded my first dance video.
Was that the Beyonce video that went viral?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did like Rihanna, the Rihanna
video. The Super Bowl video.
And then I did everybody, pretty girls walk like this.
Oh, yeah. And then you did the Victoria Monet when we went to Thailand, but that wasn't in Florida, but go ahead.
That was in Houston. I came to visit you.
Why? Oh, Victoria Monet was in
The first I had did.
Oh, one. You did one Victoria Monet in
Houston.
Florida.
It was in Houston.
Oh yeah, Houston.
And you filmed me.
There was one in Florida though. You had on the Beyonce
That was the
black
last. That
shirt.
was the last one.
Yeah, and then you did one in Thailand.
And so one of the things that the universe is all and my higher self is always reminding me is how much I love to dance. And I use that time to, and I use that time to tap back into that love, and doing it freely, meaning like I never showed my prosthetic leg. I think the majority of my followers didn't know I had one leg, and I've had one leg all my life. And I used that opportunity doing what I loved to be and show all of me. And so I guess it was a moment of freeness that I was tapping into. It showed me the power that was already within me and allowing myself to rediscover that love of mine.
You know what that sounds like? That's the validation that you're healing. Like you talked about healing through validation. That you're getting validation even outside of me. And then you're getting validation within you already. Like wanting to be center stage, wanting to be seen, like, having all these eyes on you, that can come from outside of me as well. It's just that, are you in a place to recognize that's what it is? Are you recognizing, oh, I actually don't need this just for my partner? You know what I'm saying? And that spoke to the community that you were talking about. Your community can be in anything. It can be your partner, it could be your parents, it could be your friends, it can be your social media people, it could be yourself, It can be anything that is reflecting back at you parts of yourself that you wouldn't have known had it just been you. And so that's some of the things that we're through our experience, we're just falling into that. We don't know how to be in a healthy relationship. We're finding it out now. We didn't come into this relationship saying, "Hey, I know exactly how to be a healthy partner for you. Let's put this in front of everybody and teach them how to do it."
I'm secure and you're secure, and so we're going to have this secure
Hell no,
relationship.
that did not happen that way. It was like, man, I really, really care about you. Man, I really, you are different. You make me feel different. I want to hold on to this as long as possible. Whatever I gotta do. And from there, it went on to, man, this is hard as fuck, but I'm willing. And then from there, it's like, oh, I gotta learn how to detach. Dang, I wanted to attach myself to you, but I gotta learn detachment. And somehow we're still together. Oh, okay. Let me master detachment in this way. Oh, I'm learning that, I'm not being compassionate with her. Because I'm not being compassionate with myself, oh, I'm willing to learn more about that. It's like every step of the way we're learning through this. I knew that these were my talking about going in nature and doing all these activities. I knew I love to do this, but I had no idea that this is what your dad did with you. I didn't know that you made that connection. I had the perfect puzzle piece for you to find out who you are. That's how relationships work. And I'm interested in a relationship that shows me more of myself in an interdependent way. And I choose you because I recognize that you have puzzle pieces that reflect to me, damn, I love myself. And damn, I love her. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you're putting together a puzzle, you have the big picture in mind, but and the puzzle piece you need is right there. And you're like trying to force it in and all that kind of shit. But then you just need perspective and be like, hey, I just needed to turn this around. Or I thought it went here, but it actually goes here. So like sometimes it just takes perspective to keep looking at it. Sometimes you thought that the lesson was learned. You thought that you're seeing yourself fully, but sometimes it takes a minute for you to go and do something else. Come back with a fresh perspective. Every time we did puzzles, we put together more pieces in the morning than we did in the afternoon or evening because every time we woke up, we had a different perspective. So sometimes it takes it takes coming back to validation to see, well, there's another way to look at it. There's another way. It comes back to compassion. It comes back to, you know, whatever subject, whatever the relationship is having you focus on at that time. Mm-hmm. But it takes perspective. It takes patience. And sometimes it takes rest. Mm-hmm. It takes breaks. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what happened between us. Did I help you with that?
You did help me with that.
Aw.
Thank you.
I'm glad you said it. All right, y'all. All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Divine Reconnection Podcast. We hope that this conversation was so helpful for your relationship. Whether you're single, whether you are in a relationship, it does not matter. Please let us know through the comments, through DMs, through emails. You can always reach out to us.
Follow us on Instagram at Her and Her Girlfriend. Follow us on or subscribe to us on YouTube at Her and Her Girlfriend.
Visit our website, laurenandnat.com, and you can see all of what we provide, free resources and paid.
You and your partner or you yourself are looking for support, for guidance in connecting, reconnecting with yourself, reconnecting with your partner. You can sign up for our one-on-ones and we can help guide you through whatever you need reconnecting with.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.